With passage of their tax bill, President Trump and Republicans in Congress have ended 2017 with a major political victory. But what will that mean for 2018, which promises to be a hugely significant political year across the country and here in Massachusetts? To talk about the year ahead in politics, we're joined by WBUR senior political reporter Anthony Brooks. Anthony, thanks for coming in.
Happy to be here, Jack.
So let's start with the race for governor of Massachusetts. Governor Charlie Baker faces a challenge from three Democrats, but at this point, he appears to be in a pretty strong position. What's your assessment of that race?
Yeah, there's no doubt that Baker is in a very strong position. Polls suggest that he may well be among the most, if not the most popular governor in the country. And he's got close to $7 million in his campaign chest. Meanwhile, his three Democratic opponents, Seti Warren, Jay Gonzalez, and Robert Massey, have a fraction of that combined, and they're really still struggling to sort of break through. So, yeah, big advantage for Charlie Baker.
So, high approval ratings, lots of money in the bank, and no big-name opponents. At this point, can you imagine a scenario where Charlie Baker does not win a second term next year?
Well, you know, if we've learned anything in the last year, Jack, it's don't make predictions. So I'm sort of hesitant to do that. And I'll add a couple of things. I mean, it's still early and a lot can change. And this is still a state in which it's hard to win if you're a Republican. And then there's the Donald Trump factor. You know, Charlie Baker has had to walk a kind of careful line with Trump supporters in this state. He didn't vote for Trump. He's distanced himself from some of Trump's policies. But he can't be too outspoken about Trump because he can't afford to alienate the million or so folks who voted for Trump in this state. So that could prove tricky for him, especially if 2018 turns into a kind of anti-Trump wave election. Another challenge for Baker, Senator Elizabeth Warren is running for re-election and is expected to bring lots of Democrats to the polls, so that won't help Baker. And recent Massachusetts history suggests that it's way too soon to count anyone out at this point before an election. Let's listen to Steve Cazella, who heads MassInc polling group and who does political polling for us. Here's what he said about that.
Now, Deval Patrick's approval rating was down in the 30s, even the year that he won re-election. And you look back at Scott Brown, and his numbers looked a lot like Baker's. You know, numbers in the high 60s, low 70s, a year and a half before he lost re-election.
So let's talk about that other big statewide race that you mentioned, Senator Elizabeth Warren being challenged. What are you watching for in that race?
So there's a crowded field of six challengers vying for the Republican nomination to oppose Warren. And what interests me is how they will position themselves vis-a-vis President Trump, who is extremely unpopular in Massachusetts. He was trounced 2-1 in this state in 2016. You know, on the one hand, there's folks like State Representative Jeff Deal, who was chairman of the Trump campaign in Massachusetts, who embraces the president and is challenging Elizabeth Warren. The argument in favor of his position is that Trump is popular among Republicans and the party's base, and they're the ones who will turn out at the polls. A much different approach comes from businessman John Kingston, who's a vocal critic of Trump, who argues that not being blindly loyal to the president is good for Massachusetts. And then sort of in the middle, you've got someone like Beth Lindstrom, who says she'll work with the president when he's right, oppose him when he's wrong. And it'll be interesting to watch, you know, which one of these approaches wins the nomination to oppose Warren, who, it has to be said, will be tough to beat.
Another congressional race we'll be watching is in the House, the race to succeed Congresswoman Nikki Tsongas, who represents the state's 3rd congressional district and who will be stepping down. And Anthony, talk about a crowded field.
Yeah, really. Talk about a crowded field. 15 people in this race, 13 Democrats, 2 Republicans have declared their intention to run. Now, it's unlikely that they'll all remain in the race until the primary next September. But if they do, it would be the most crowded primary field for a federal election in modern Massachusetts history. So 15 people. And Jack, no telling how many will enter the race between now and the end of business today.
Of course, of course. And speaking of Congress, looking beyond Massachusetts, what are you watching for as we near the 2018 midterm congressional elections?
So this will be fascinating to watch. You know, we've seen evidence that the Democratic base has fired up. We saw it in Virginia in November, where Republicans lost their big majority in the House of Delegates. And we saw it this month, of course, in the Alabama Senate race, where a Democrat, Doug Jones, won. And we're seeing it as well in the number of women who are suddenly running for office. Here's Julie McLean Downey with Emily's List, which supports Democratic women political candidates. And she says after the election of Donald Trump last year, a surge of women reached out to Emily's List for help about running for office.
That's not something that we really had experience as an organization before. It's mostly been about recruitment and convincing women to run for office. But instead, we had this real tidal wave of women reach out to us. We're at now 20,000 women.
Now, Jack, that number, 20,000 women, compares to less than 1,000 women in the previous election cycle. So it could be a big factor in the midterm elections. But again, Jack, 11 months away from Election Day, a lot can change. What I will predict is that 2018 will be another fascinating year in politics.
That's a safe prediction. Anthony Brooks, WBUR senior political reporter, many thanks and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Jack.